On this last Sunday of 2019, I recognize the one that is all there is. I own the one that is all there is. There is only that one, of which I am a significant part, of which each of us is a significant part. We are of the one, whole and complete, love overflowing, abundance, generosity, joy, laughter, peace. All these and more are ours because we are of that one. Choosing today to celebrate that oneness, choosing today to know that there is no separation. In these moments, knowing that all the way down to my toes. As the holiday season flows in and out of our hearts and our souls, so too that love, that oneness, that sense of oneness flows in and out. And I am in such gratitude for this community, for this love that shows up as this community, that shows up as the hands, the hearts, the hugs, the kind words, the new perspectives, the gift of someone in my life who says, wow, have you thought of thinking it this way? Oh, suddenly what didn't look so good has a new experience for me, a new learning, a gift, an unwrapping. So today, let's unwrap yet more of that beautiful new perspective. In joy, in gratitude, in love. So now I release these words, knowing they move into the law which says, okay, you betcha. And so it is.
So today is the last of our, we've been doing a month-long celebration of the festivals of light. And today is our last, we're going to take two of our last celebrations, honorings that are happening today, that juxtapose, that overlap today. And they come actually from probably two of the most oppressed groups in Western culture. Okay? The Jewish community and the African American community, or the African community. And so we're going to honor both those who oftentimes live in darkness and yet have created celebrations of light. And we're going to honor that light. And so we're going to begin with Hanukkah, which is a little bit older of the two. A little bit, like 2,100 years, yeah. And we're just going to start there. So Hanukkah commemorates the cleansing of the temple in Jerusalem at about 125 BC, before Christ was born. And the temple had been desecrated by the Syrians, who had been an occupying army and occupying force within Jerusalem. And I remember as a rabbi that I knew once said, the bad news is we invited them in. Don't we often invite in our own worst enemies? You know, in our thoughts, in our feelings, in our hearts. So they had invited them in to help to do that. But unfortunately, like other rulers and like any bad habits that we have, they tend to take over the place, right? You ever notice that? Yeah. And so they'd taken over the place. They had done away with the Jews being able to honor God in their way. And so finally, the group that had not invited them in overthrew them. They kicked them out. And one of the traditions of the temple was to keep a flame burning constantly to honor God. You know, we have our light that we light on Sunday mornings to remind us of the light within. And in the temple, it was supposed to be there all the time, constantly, continuously. And this light was came from candles that were fed by a sanctified oil, a consecrated oil. And during the time that the Assyrians had occupied this place, they had desecrated the temple. They had destroyed all but one of the pots of ceremony oil. And it would take 8 days to consecrate new oil because they had to press it. They had to do a whole blessing process for it. And the whole thing took 8 days. But the tribe that was known as the Maccabees, who had led the revolt and driven out the Syrians, didn't want to wait to light the candle until the sacred oil was done. They didn't want to wait the 8 days. They wanted it now, right? When do we want our good? Okay. Not 8 days from now, right? Now. Okay. So they didn't want to wait to light that. And so they lit it that day with just the one jar of oil, which supposedly should have only lasted for 1 day. And the miracle of Hanukkah, of course, is that it lasted for 8 days. 8 days. Until the new oil was ready. And so the 8 Hanukkah candles that we have on the menorah here symbolize each of the 8 days of the miracle. Hanukkah literally means festival of lights. Festival of lights. And the 9th candle, which is the middle one, known as the Shamash, is used to light the other candles. As a friend of mine recently posted on Facebook, they said, I want to be a Shamash. I want to be that light that lights the light of others. And I invite you to take on that consciousness, to be the light that lights the light of others. And there's a blessing spoken each night as we light the candles. So today, being a youth and adult service, I've asked, where is she? Zaya and Sherry Reisner to come up and help us to light the Hanukkah candles and to speak the blessing. And we have a slide with the blessing on it. And we need the lighter from over here. And I'll light the Shamash candle. And this is the candle that will be used to light all the others. So. And Sherry, do you have a blessing?
Yeah. So the Hebrew is, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kitshanu B'mitzvotav B'tzivanu L'hadlik Ner Shel Hanukkah.
And so what that means is, and we'll say that together. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to kindle the Hanukkah lights. Thank you. Is there anything you want to speak about, Hanukkah? No. All right. Thank you. And so the candles are when they're put into the menorah, they're put in from right to left, but they're lit from left to right. And since today is the 8th day of Hanukkah, we can light all the candles. Hanukkah ends tonight at sundown. And Hanukkah is a festival of faith and hope. Faith and hope. See, when they did this, when they started lighting this candle, when they started the revolt, no one knew how it was going to turn out. Have you ever started things in your life that you didn't know how it was going to turn out? Yeah. You know, some of us want to wait until we get everything planned out and all of our ducks are in a row and everything's all set up for it. And we find that that never really happens, does it? Or rarely ever happens. And so they don't know how it's going to turn out, but they began anyway. And that's the invitation, that's the call that we have to our dreams, to our what we know is the highest and best expression that we can be, is to begin anyways, even if we don't know how it's going to turn out yet. It's a call for us to not let the seeming darkness of present circumstances, the things that are happening around us, paralyze us with fear and hopelessness, but instead to step boldly That was our theme this year, going boldly. To step boldly forward in faith. I want to talk about a particular Hanukkah from 5 years ago. It was a celebration that I think embodied this spirit. There was a school in Jerusalem, which was a combined Arab and Jewish school for Arab and Jewish children, first through ninth grades. It was literally called the hand-in-hand school. And there were some extremists in Israel who didn't think that Arabs and Jews should be together at all, so they burned down the first grade classroom in the school. They set fire to it. And so later that year, the U.S. has for a long time acknowledged Hanukkah. I think it was Harry Truman was the first one who was hosting the Jewish ambassador, Jewish prime minister, I can't remember which one, and they celebrated. And so they celebrated ever since. So President Obama was celebrating that year in 2014, and he invited children from that school that had their classroom torched to create a menorah, the menorah to be used in the White House. And they created this menorah. We have a slide for it. Which had the values of the school in both Hebrew and Aramaic. Isn't that pretty? And their handprints, by the way, are in the base of it. And these are the values that they have there. Fortunately, I can read both Arabic and Hebrew. Pay no attention to the small English words at the top of each candle. Community. Education, freedom, human dignity, peace, equality, solidarity, and friendship. Those are the eight values from left to right. Two of the students and one of their mothers were flown over to the United States to be present at that celebration, at that candle lighting. And at that candle lighting, President Obama said something that really struck me and struck a lot of people who were there. He said, "The light of hope must outlast the fires of hate." That's what the Hanukkah story teaches us. It's what our young people can teach us, that one act of faith can make a miracle, that love is stronger than hate, that peace can triumph over conflict. And so as we light this light, as we remember these lights, that light, and remember that light that lives within us, to remember that no matter how dark it looks, we have the ability to create miracles. And that light starts from within. So take a breath. And happy Hanukkah. The final festival of light is Kwanzaa. And Kwanzaa literally means first fruits in Swahili. And it's a celebration of the first, or honoring of the first fruit ceremonies that often were happening in Swahili, in Africa, in the southern part of Africa, at this time of year, because they're not celebrating the winter solstice, right? They're celebrating the summer solstice. Okay? And so in 1966, an African-American created this holiday with the intention of creating a holiday that was for African-American people, to honor them, to honor their lives, to honor their beauty, to honor what was their own power, which, of course, if you remember 1966, was being pushed down by quite a bit, right? And so to have that holiday for people who could celebrate their own uniqueness, their own culture. And so it was the first fruits of this holiday that were being celebrated. Each of the seven candles of the Kinara, which is the candle holder, stands for seven different values of life. And we have Ocean and Michael who are going to come up and light these candles and speak about that.
Definitely. There's the lighter.
So there are three different colors in that they celebrate in Kwanzaa, they're black, red, and green. The black represents the people, and the black candle is in the middle, and it represents the principle of unity. It's in the center of the Kinara. the red candles, represent the struggle of the people.
We'll get a better one here.
Light it.
We're also standing underneath a vent right there.
It's covered in wax. That's annoying.
Would you toss me that little knife down there?
Something to trim the candle with?
Yes. Behind your foot there, underneath, at the bottom. That's what I was thinking of.
Looks fine.
Okay. Tell you what we're going to do is we're going to unite a couple of festivals here, like somebody suggested out there.
Work. And there you go. What do you know? So, as I said, the black candle represents the people and the principle of unity. The color red represents the struggle of the people and the struggles they go through. The red candles, from left to right, are lit, and they represent self-determination, cooperative economics, and creativity. The color green represents the hope that comes out of the people's struggles, and those candles represent work, collective work and responsibility, purpose, and faith. The black candle is lit first on the first day, and then they're lit left to right for each of the other 6 days.
There's not much wick left on that one.
Unfortunately, the air in the building is interfering.
It's representing the struggle.
Yes, that is representing the struggle.
Just the way we planned it.
Yes. And they're lit in that order to represent that the people come first, and then the struggle that the people go through, and finally, the hope and the prosperity that comes out of their struggle, which we will achieve eventually.
That's good. Still wet. You're doing great.
Now it's this that's going out.
Blow on it.
Well,
hold on a second.
It's a real struggle, huh?
Just take that and move in.
That should work.
Can you help him with that?
Yeah, here.
Thank you. Sometimes the process itself is the message. And so we allow all this light. The cup is the cup of unity. If we were doing this as a ceremony at home, we would be pouring a wine or something into that and passing it around to take a sip out of. The fruits are the first fruits of the season. This week, I invite you to become more aware of the light that's within you. To become more aware of it, because it's there. Even if sometimes we have to struggle in lighting it, because there are winds blowing. And whether it's the candles of Advent, which stand for hope, faith, joy, peace, and finally the new birth, if it's the light within, such as the enlightenment of the Buddha that we celebrated on the second Sunday this month, if it's the light without, as the sun returning to the earth, as we celebrated in the solstice on the third Sunday, if it's the birth of love and light as symbolized by Christmas, or if it's the light of faith, no matter how dark or hopeless circumstances seem, as we see all these celebrations of light, let us find out what resonates with us and remember that each of us is a light. Each of us really is a shamash. Each of us is that light. It's always present within us, even though we may forget it, and even though sometimes it may seem tamped way down, it is present within us, and it's always present all around us. And so I invite you this week, as we come to the end of this year, this decade, to remember that you are the light and to let that light shine, as our community song says. Are you willing to play with that? Great. I want to close with a quote from Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman was a powerful and wonderful and very wise African-American minister in the last century. And he said, for many, this is a talk about waiting on the Lord, the phrase out of the Bible, wait upon the Lord. And oftentimes we don't want to wait on the Lord, right? Because we want our good when? Right now, yeah. And we don't want to wait on that, right? Have you ever noticed that sometimes you do have to wait? Anybody besides me? You all get it right away, right? But I have to wait sometimes. So he's talking about this experience of waiting on the Lord, waiting for what needs to develop, what needs to unfold, that powerful spiritual movement, flow to happen. And he says, for many, waiting is the experience of recovering balance when catapulted from one's place. How many of you have been catapulted from your place? Right? We know this feeling. It's the quiet forming of a pattern of recollection in which there is called into focus the fragmentary values from many encounters of many kinds in a lifetime of living. It's the time to gather all the scattered memories, all the scattered experiences to where we can bring them forward. It is to watch a gathering darkness until all light is swallowed up completely without the power to interfere or bring a halt. Take a breath. And then, in that darkness, to continue one's journey with one's footsteps guided by the illumination of remembered radiance. This is to know courage of a peculiar kind, the courage to demand the light to continue to be light, even in the surrounding darkness. To walk in the light while darkness invades, envelops, and surrounds. This is to wait on the Lord. This is to know the renewal of strength. This is to walk and faint not. I invite you this week, whether your life is already in the light or whether you're going through a period of darkness somewhere in your life, to walk, if you need to, by the light of remembered radiance, of remembering that truth within you, remembering that light that lives within you. Let's move into prayer. And there is only this one life, this one light, this one love, this one power, always present, everywhere present. Constantly expressing. It is never shut out. It is never unlit. This infinite presence is all there is. And since it is, each of us are lights within that light, love within that love, life within that life, power within that power. We are that expressing being itself. This infinite presence is taking the time and the thought and the energy to be each of us. And so we are here on a purpose. We are here by desire of the universe. And so I speak my word that we allow this light within us to shine more brightly than it ever has before. If it's been dim, to let it spark out a little bit. If it's already bright, to say, how can I let even more of this light shine? How can I let more of this love express? How can I let more of the power of this life be as me? And as we do this, as we say yes to spirit, we create amazing things in our lives. Amazing experiences, amazing results, ideas that pass understanding. And so in gratitude for our yes, and in gratitude for all of the good that comes out of that, I simply release this word into a law that moves it into form and experience, knowing that as we say yes, and join me in a yes, yes, that this light shines and the darkness overcomes it not. And so it is.